Begin the current daf, Masechet Schulin daf lamed hey. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the similar halacha as we quoted in the previous daf from Ula, which the Gemara explained the necessity of both halachas, which again continues on the theme of a previous Mishnah, which was speaking about the laws of Shechita, of slaughtering, which we said that if someone slaughters an animal without any blood, then he's allowed to touch the animal, because it didn't become susceptible to tumma, because it needs one of the seven liquids, which includes dam, blood, to make it susceptible to tumma. Which the Gemara had proven that we're talking about Chulin and not Kachim, and if it's the case of Chulin, then the Gemara comes into this whole discussion that we're discussing in the previous Dafim, then what's the problem? Chulin does not become a Shlishi anyways, and hands, your dimes, generic hands, are at most a Sheni, which wouldn't make Chulin problematic anyway. So that's where the Gemara gets into the whole discussion regarding Chulin Shanasu, Altaris HaTrum, Altaris HaKadosh, regarding that although they're really mundane types of animals or food items, they could be prepared on certain higher levels of purity of sanctity, whether they be like Truma or Kachem, and then there's a discussion regarding do they take on that status or not. So that the Gemara continues, under Bienis and Omer Rebbe, says, Oichel Shlishi Shel Truma Atzma, and this is in contrast to the Halach of Ula, as we're going to explain in a moment, if someone eats literally a Truma item that itself is a Shlishi, again, in contrast to a Chulun that was made on the standard of Truma, Truma itself, which the most it could become Tami is a Shlishi, a third level Tama. So, if someone eats that truma, asur lechem, it's forbidden for him to eat truma, because now, ultimately, as we explained in the previous daf, and Bishur, Belazar, the one who eats the tummy item takes on that level of tumma itself. So he himself is like a shlishi, so therefore he's like tummy, because in regards to truma, that would be forbidden for him to partake of truma. But a mutu liga. However, he is allowed to touch the truma, because ultimately, at most, he's what, a shlishi, and a shlishi it has no problem about touching truma, because truma cannot become a revi. Now, as we explained, this is essentially like the lach of Ula. The only difference is that Ula was talking about a third level of chulin, which was prepared on the level of tar of truma, and Rebbeinu is talking about a shlishi of truma itself. So therefore, the Gemara explains, why do we need both teachings? Aren't they saying the same thing, that when someone eats a third level of truma or made on the level of truma, that although essentially, even though we're going to make him a shlishi, what's the problem? He's not going to make truma into revi. He could touch it. Well, we said, but he cannot eat that truma itself. So on that says the Gemara, v'itzrach te'ula, v'itzrach Rabbi Yonasan, we needed both halachas. Why? So the Gemara explains, the ima the ula, if we only had the teaching of ula, which was the last halacha on the previous daf, regarding chulin shanasu al taharas truma, havamina, I would have said, hanemili, when do we say this halacha that they're both in agreement, that he's forbidden to eat truma, but he's permitted to touch the truma? That's only if this third level truma that he ate was b'chulin shanasu al taharas truma, was really a chulin item that was prepared on the level of purity of truma. Why? Because of a truma, I would say, in contrast, that this teaching of Rabbi Yonasan, when it's the actual truma itself, that there, if he ate a shlishi of truma itself, not just chulin shanasu al taharas truma, that benegiyah nami aser, that not only would he now be forbidden to eat truma, he would even be forbidden to touch truma. Now, as Tosfos points out, even though we know that if he's a shlishi, he cannot make truma into a revi by touching it, but we would have said that since he ate a real shlishi of truma, that he would be forbidden to touch, because we would make a decree that he might come to eat, and that he's not allowed to. And even though we don't say that by chulin shanasu al taharas truma that he ate, maybe by truma itself we would say to go so far as to say that now not only could he not eat truma, he cannot even touch truma. So it's Rabbi Yonasan, and that's what we need a teaching of Rabbi Yonasan, and that even when you ate a shlishi of truma itself, you're allowed to touch truma now. Now, the other way true is also v'imid Rabbi Yonasan, if we only had this teaching of Rabbi Yonasan by truma itself, havamina hanemile truma. I would have thought to say that when is he now forbidden to eat truma? That's only if what he had eaten of tuma of shlishi was a truma of a chulun. But if let's say he only ate a chulun shanas al taras a truma, that then bachila namishari, that not only is he now permitted to touch truma, because what is he? He's a shlishi. He's not going to make the truma into revi. That not only is he permitted to touch truma, that he could even eat truma. That's what we needed, the halacha of Ula also, to say even if it was chulin shanasu al taharas truma, that it's still going to be forbidden to eat the truma. That's why we needed each one to say that they both have the same halacha of that it's forbidden to eat the truma, but permitted to touch the truma. Now, continuing on these halachas, which relate back to another opinion, this that we're quoting Rav Yitzchak, that actually disagrees and disputes Ula, as we'll explain. Yasser Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta kamed Rav Nachman. B'yosef b'kama. He was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, and he was saying over the following halacha. Says the oichel shlishi shel chulin. Someone's eating a third degree tuma of chulin item. Now chulin doesn't become shlishi, but we're saying shenasa taras hakodesh, because it was being made on the level of purity of kodesh, which kachim could become a shlishi, could even become revi. So this chulin item now contracted from a sheni, it became a shlishi. So and that says Rav Yitzchok tar lecha b'kodesh. He's pure to eat a kachim item. And he's addressing and he's forewarning something, because generally we said if you eat a shlishi or whatever it is that you eat, you get that same tum itself. So the person who eats it should become a shlishi and then thus should be forbidden to eat of kachim, because kachim is problematic with a shlishi. It could even become a revi. So that says Rav Yitzchak, no. She'en lecha davar she'is revi b'kodesh, because there's nothing that could make something else of kachim into a revi, and thus, as Rashi explains, the person that eats that item itself too. Ella, that only applies if that the thing that became invalidated from, only if that shlishi item was kodesh mekudesh b'vad. Only if, as Rashi explains, totally sanctified. What does it mean totally sanctified? There's different levels of sanctification. We mean that the actual physical body of the thing itself was already sanctified. For example, the meat of a carbon, or the chalas of a carbon taida, which already the carbon was slaughtered, so then there's physical sanctity on those breads, or menachas, flour offerings that were sanctified in the vessel. Now, however, in contrast, a shlishi of kachim that was only orally sanctified, then no. Then you wouldn't say such a Yitzchak, it doesn't have that severe level of sanctity to go ahead and transmit Tumah to another thing to make it into Revi, as the Bryce explains in the first paragraph of Masechtas Tyrus. Now, as Rashi explains, since a shlishi of Kodesh, that's not Kodesh Mekodesh, and for sure not Chulun Shana Asal Tyrus HaKodesh, that it since it's not going to make Revi, so it doesn't make the person who eats it either puzzle. So again, so the assumption of that is, if you're saying that regular kachim, that's orally sanctified, that's not kodesh mekodesh, that doesn't have physical sanctity, and for sure chulin shanas al taras hakodesh, cannot go ahead and make the person tummy, cannot make him tummy to make kachim into a problem, or to touch kachim and make that into a problem, we're thinking at this point, for sure, if it's chulin shanas al taras hatruma, which is much lower down, it was never prepared on any level of sanctity of kachim, only that of truma, sure would not make into Revi. Now, the reason for this is, the understanding of Yitzchak's halacha is that this halacha that a shlishi makes a Revi by kachim explains Rashi is only rabbinic mila, rabbinic level, because this is mentioned in Masechtas Chagiga in the last five milas, which the Gemara there says, those last five levels that apply to kachim are what's called, they don't have dara de tumah midai raisa, doesn't have a biblical source. And therefore, explains Rashi, this halacha of Rav Yitzchak, when the Rabbanu were mesakin, which is a rabbinic level of heightened security for kachim, was only by a third level of kachim that's kodesh mekudesh, which has actual physical sanctity. And Rashi forewarns, although it sounds like from elsewhere that it's actually learned from a kavul chayma, so Rashi explains that actually it's not a biblical kavul chayma, it's really just an illusion, as Rashi finds, you find other sources that although it's called the kavul chayma, doesn't really mean the biblical halacha, it really could still be a rabbinic law. So therefore, that's Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. Although this chulin was prepared al taras ha-kodesh, it doesn't make a difference, because even if it was real kachim itself, if it wasn't kodesh mekodesh, it can't make a revi. So therefore, the person that eats that shlishi is not going to become possible to go ahead and partake of kachim, because he can't even make kachim itself into revi, and therefore he could partake of kachim. However, this halacha of Rav Yitzchak Masiv Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama asks from a brayso we quoted on the previous daf, where the Rabbi Shua had said that if someone eats a shlishi, a third level of tuma, so now this person becomes a sheni lekodesh. He's considered as if he's a second level of tuma in regards to be problematic for kachim. Where, because Bukachim now, you would make it into Shlishi and even into Revi. But that was only a level of sanctity of standard we made for Kachim. But for Ein Shein L'Truma, we won't consider him as a Sheini for Truma. He's a Shlishi, not a Sheini. And on that qualifies Rabbi Shua, what type of Shlishi am I talking about? B'chulin Shenasol Taras Truma. Regarding Chulin, unconsecrated produce, which was prepared on the level of purity of Truma. So there is where we said that for Kachim, we're really going to consider you as a Sheini. Now, but that's only for kachim, not for truma. However, the Gemara asks, Rav Bachma asks on Rav Yitzchak, but am I? But why? Halav kodesh mekudeshu. What do you mean? We're not even talking about kachim itself. For sure not kodesh mekudesh, which has a physical sanctity in itself. We're talking about chulin. They were prepared al taras truma, which is even much less. And still we see that it's going to make the person puzzle. And moreover, not only is it going to make the person puzzle, it's going to make him even as a sheni for kachim. How's that possible? Rav Yitzchak said that it doesn't do anything, let alone make it into a sheni, because he said that the only way it could contaminate, if you're talking about a shlishi item, to contaminate kachim, is only if it has kodesh mekodesh, the higher level of physical sanctity. So Amalai, so he said back to Ram Bahama, no, hanach l'truma. Leave alone this brisa that you're asking from truma, because here it's actually working in the opposite direction. Here it actually will be problematic for kachim, not because, I mean, Rav Yitzchak's halacha was talking about higher levels, where we said we were more particular, the higher the level of the item, the sanctity, okay, it's more sensitive, it's more vulnerable, if it's kodesh makodesh. But here, the reason why it's actually being problematic for kachim, by the case of truma, and we're talking about chulin that was nasa al taharasa truma, is shataharasa, because actually the purity of truma, which is what this chulin was treated like, is tumahi itzel hektish. It's actually considered impure regarding hektish. And therefore, this that we're saying that this chulin is only a shlishi, we're actually in doubt, we actually treated that maybe it's actually even worse, because we don't say that what you consider this as pure for truma is really pure regarding kachim. We actually treat it as a sheni. That's why it's going to make the person problematic and make him puzzle that now he cannot partake of kachim. But not because we were stringent in that. No, stringent in that is only by kodesh mekodesh. Here it's actually because we consider it as tamei. We consider it as a sheni. And that's why we're going to go ahead and say that's problematic in the area of kachim, that this person is going to be puzzled to go ahead and partake of kachim. Now that has to gemar malot temra. Where do we know this concept that Rabbi Yitzchak is answering that regards to truma, it's tahara, it's considered tumah regarding kachim? So it says the gemar, the Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga. The Mishnah says, Bigdei Ama'aretz, the garments of an ignoramus, Midras Laprushin, is considered as a Midras, which is the halacha of Tumazav, when someone that's Tumay goes out and sits on something or steps on something, that's considered as a Tumah. So that's considered for the Prushin, who there, those are the Pharisees, those are separate, meaning that they eat their even chulin, their unconsecrated produce, they eat in the state of purity. We're saying for the Prushin, the garment of the Ama'aretz is considered like a Tumah Zav, where that will contaminate the person who touches that garment. And so to Ma'ilim HaKadosh, the higher the level we go, Big Day Purushan, even the garments of the Purushan, is Midras L'Ichli Truma. Those who eat Truma have a higher standard than those of the Purushan. The garments of the Purushan are considered as a Midras for those who eat Truma. And this is the one that we're talking about, Big Day Ichli Truma, even the garments of those who eat Truma, is Midras L'Kadosh. It's considered Midras for Kachim, and therefore that's the same idea that we're saying, that rabbinically we consider that as Tumah. Therefore that's where we see this concept of Yitzchak's answering. Don't ask me from that halach of the Braisa, that if someone eats the Shlishi, it will be problematic for Kachim, and I say it's only Kadosh Makudosh. Mekudesh is because that's chulin shenasa taras truma. Taras truma considered as tamei regarding kachim. That's why it's problematic. However, Amar Rava, Rava asks on this answer, Rav Yitzchak, you bring a proof from this Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga, Midrasa's comrade. You're talking about a halacha of tumas medras. No, Shani Midrasa's there by medras. It's different. Yet there, I'll concede that the tahara of truma is tuma regarding kachim. Why? As we continue to Medbeis, there's a rationale over there. Shemetesh of Alein Ishtei Nida, because maybe his wife, who's a menstruating woman, sat on that garment. And meaning, although that those who eat truma, obviously they're very careful with tumas medras, because that's a problem for oichle truma too. But regarding kachim, we'll say that it's not considered as a proper safeguarding, and we're concerned. Why? Because that's a common type of tuma, because it's a garment, it's around the house, and the wife's around, and half the month she could be a state of nida. So that is something that's common. So I could understand that over there you'll say that tahara shel truma is considered tuma eitzel kachim. Aval b'peri, but ask Rav on Rav Yitzchak, regarding produce, which is what we're talking about in Ahalach of the Braisa, of Truma, they're loyam rinan. By produce, which the Tumah is not so common for Tumas Eichlin, it's not like the garment that's around that the wife will sit on, then we don't say, and rather we say that, no, the safeguarding of Truma is a proper safeguarding for Kachim, for what they are protecting it for, because as Rashi explains Rav's question, even more so, is then even Truma Tahira should also be Matama Kachim. And that we don't say. So therefore, Rava does not concede to this answer of Rav Yitzchak to say that, oh, you see such a precedence regarding the halacha that truma is considered tame regarding kachim, that he says that we find regarding medrash, because that's common. But regarding peri, you wouldn't find such a source for the halacha that you're trying to answer to resolve your question from the brisa that we find truma is tame etzel kachim. No, that regarding produce, we wouldn't say that. But the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yitzchak b'peri nami amar. Rabbi Yitzchak says that even by produce he doesn't differentiate, and therefore his answer for himself is sufficient, because yeah, we say that the Tara of Truma is considered Toma Itzel Kachim, and therefore it's not difficult from the Braisa on him, that yeah, you only say it for Shlishi becoming a problem for Kachim by Kodesh Mekudesh. Here, it's a problem because we normally consider it a Shlishi, we consider it as a Sheni, we consider it totally as Toma, because that's the Tara of Truma is Toma Itzel Kachim. Now, Taisa Naman Alf actually explains the discussion here in the Gemara, which actually relates back to the previous stuff, which is this machlekes that we've been mentioning regarding standards of chum that were prepared in higher levels of sanctity. He explains that the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yitzchak was that the questioner, that of Rava, is because they understood, and this relates back to the halacha of Ul of the previous stuff, that there is halacha that we're saying, which is the halacha according to this braisa of Yeshua, that if someone eats a shlishi, we said he becomes a sheni regards to kachim. So the questioners understood this, that why is that? How is that possible? What does it mean? It's a shlishi, not a sheni. We've been just saying this halacha, what does it mean? It's because since he wasn't careful to protect it from becoming tummy in the first place, it's a shlishi. How to become a shlishi? Because it obviously touched something that's a sheni. So then you could be in doubt and also say, you know what? Who knows what else happened to it? Maybe it touched the rishon too. So therefore, that's why, in regards to kachim, we say, okay, maybe it's really a sheni. Now, so that's Rava, that's the questioners, because they hold like Ula, that even when you have chulin shenal satar sakaydish, doesn't make a difference what level of sanctity you prepared it for. Even in that case of chulin shenal satar sakaydish, that's a shlishi, we would say for that same reason that maybe it's considered a sheni, because who knows what else happened to it? We don't know. Who cares what level you prepared it to? It might still be a sheni. It may have been come tummy from something else. Now, moreover, because they don't hold this concept that Rabbi Yitzchak's answering, that no, it's because that the Tara of Truma is considered Tumah Etzel Kachim. No, it's not true. They hold safeguarding of Truma is considered valid safeguarding for Kachim. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak, he was answering that no, this halacha of the Braisa is explicitly, just like how it said, that it's only a shlishi that was made on Taras HaTruma, on the only level of Tzend of Truma, that if the person eats it, becomes a shame regarding Kachim. Why? Like he said, because the purity of Truma is considered Tuma regarding Kachim. But regarding a shlishi that was made al Taras HaKodesh holds of Yitzchak, the one who eats it, it actually is Tar to partake of Kachim, just like we say, it doesn't become a Revi. Now, according to him, Truma that's Tar, not like the way Rava was actually saying, the way Rashi was explaining him, actually would go ahead and contaminate Kachim. Now, that's why Rava says to Rav Yitzchak, well, how do you know this concept that you're saying? What does that mean? Because from this that we have halacha that a shlishi becomes a sheni, you can't prove it according to their understanding, because that's not relevant to what Rav Yitzchak's saying. That's a whole different reason. That's because we don't know what else it made. Not because of Tarasa Shatruma, Isa Sheni, meaning that makes a problem for Kachim, that they don't hold it. That's the interpretation of that halacha. That's what Rav Yitzchak brings, the Mishnah Masechet Chagiga, that you find this concept that Eichli Truma, their garments are medras for Eichli Kaidish, because, like the Gemara concludes, Rav Yitzchak doesn't differentiate between medrasis and peri, but that's what Rava was saying, that there is reason to differentiate, and because it's something that's common by medrasis, because the garments are around, but it's not something we have to suspect regarding produce, that maybe touched medras, and therefore there's no reason for us to assume such a Tuma, and therefore that's why he disagrees with Rav Yitzchak. That's the understanding of their machlekes. The Gemara, however, continues asking, Masav Yimir Medifti, he asked on Rav Yitzchak, which as the Gemara just concluded, and he had said that no, there's no difference between Medris and regarding Peri, whatever is considered purity for Truma is considered Tuma regarding Kachim, and that's why that halacha the Braisa is, if someone eats a shlishi of Chul Shnasa Tarasa Truma, only of Truma, that then he's going to be considered Tuma regarding Kachim and actually even become a Sheni. But again, that doesn't contradict his halacha, that when we're talking about a pure shlishi, which was treated al Taras HaKadosh, is still not going to be a problem for Kachim to make Revi. It's only the more severe Kachim, meaning the thing that has the Kadosh Makadosh has a physical sanctity itself, only that will make a Revi B'Kadosh. So in that as Rav Yimir Medifti, Umi Amrina B'Peri, do we really say this concept that he's proving that Truma, that if it was made al Taras HaTruma, or Truma itself, that's considered Tame regarding Kachim, not just by Medrasas, but even by Peri? But what's not? But he quotes a Mishnah Masechet Chagiga on the Chavdal Mabez, where the Mishnah there is discussing that regarding the levels, as we mentioned this concept just before, regarding Amaratzim, which we suspect that their things are Tameh, they're not careful in the laws of Tumah. So that the Mishnah discussed that in Yehuda, an area in Eretz so-called Judea, the Amaratzim, the ignoramuses, were trustworthy regarding the purity of their wine to use for Nesachim, for libations in the Beis HaMikdash. That if they say that it's pure, the Rabbanan trusted them. Now why? The reason is because if we don't, then everyone, they're going to say, look, the rabbis don't like us, they don't care about us, they say everything we have is not good. So they're going to go ahead and make their own altars, and they're going to go ahead and make their own paradumas for themselves. So to prevent that, they said, okay, regarding these things, we'll trust them and we'll use their wine for Nesachim. Now that's only for Kachim things, because we're concerned they'll go make their own Beis HaMikdash. But regarding Truma, that we don't have that concern, and therefore they're not trustworthy. Except for at the times of the actual pressing of the olives and of the wines, at that time, then we say, okay, it didn't become tummy, then we go ahead and we trust him. But once that time passed, and then he brings to a kohen a barrel of wine of truma, so then the kohen can't take it from him because you have to suspect that it's tummy, which the kohen can't go ahead and use. Now, on that's what the Mishnah quotes. However, im ama hafrashti lotecha, but if let's say this Amma Arit says, I just want you to know, I also separated to put inside this barrel, not just a barrel of truma, but revius kaidish. I also put in a revius of leg of kachim wine, meaning that was designated for nisachim in the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, then it's actually trustworthy on all the wine inside that barrel, and the kohen could take it and they could drink it. Now, what do you see from that? Most of the barrel he's giving is truma wine, but inside is a revius of a leg of that's wine that should be used for nisachim for kachim. Now, So we said, okay, the kohen could outtake the whole thing. So the problem is, we see that the truma wine, which is the majority, doesn't make the kachim wine tummy. That has the gemara of Yitzchok, v'yamr tarasa tummy yitzel hektish. Now, if you say the purity of truma is considered tummy regarding kachim, to tummy truma l'kaydish, let the truma wine contaminate the kachim wine that's inside of it. How does it help that, okay, for kachim he's trustworthy, so therefore we could take the barrel, but the problem is the truma wine that's inside should contaminate. It's considered tummy regarding the kachim. So how could you go ahead and partake of that wine? So on that, Rav Yitzchak said to him, no, tuma b'chibur in kamer. You're asking on me from halacha of a tuma that's connected, meaning when both wines are in the same vessel the whole time? No, tuma b'chibur in shani. When the tuma is connected, is different. Why? Since the rabbis wanted us to trust him regarding his wine when it comes to kachim, because we have this concern that they might go out and make their own altars, their own Beis HaMikdash. So since in this barrel that has the kachim wine, in it is also the truma wine, so we have to allow you to have the truma wine too, because we want you to always take his wine for kachim. So since it's together, that's why it's going to work out. But again, that's only because it's in the same barrel. But if there were separate barrels and then they were touched, then yeah, it would go ahead and contaminate, because Rabbi Yitzchak still contends, Tarasa Shel Truma is Tuma Etzel Kachim. But the Gemara continues asking, Masa Rav Huna Bar Nosson. He asked Rabbi Yitzchak from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Hasheni Shebechulin. When there's a second degree level in a chulin, a mundane, unconsecrated item, so which chulin could become that level of Sheni, Mitama mashke chulin. So, as the Gemara had said previously, on the previous daf, that although generally a chulin cannot make a shlishi, but whatever is a sheni, which would make truma pasul, it makes liquids rabbinically into a rishon. So, therefore, it's going to make the liquid of chulin tame, because it could even contaminate things further, because it becomes now a rishon. Actually, goes more severe. Upaisul eichli truma, and it makes that the food items of truma pasul, because we said truma ends at a shlishi, so truma is only when it could further contaminate pasul, it's invalid. So the truma could become a shlishi. Regular food items of chulin cannot become even a shlishi, but truma could become pasul. Now continues the brisa vashlishi, and the third degree level of truma of chulin mitame mashke kodesh. It can make a liquid of kachim into something that's tame, meaning once it's a shlishi, truma cannot become a revis. So truma is not, nothing's going to happen to truma. But the liquid of kachim, not only does it become pasul, it actually becomes tame. Like we said, liquids are more severe. It could even become back to a rishon. Upaisel eichli kodesh. It makes the food items of kachim pasul, because it stops over there, because we're talking about a shlishi touching kachim. Kachim can become a revi, but nothing more than that. And qualifies the Braisa. What are we talking about by the Shlishi? Is b'chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, by a chulin item, but it was made on the level of taras hakodesh. So therefore, we treat it like kachim itself. So it could be a Shlishi, and not only that, it could go ahead and contaminate further and make the kachim item into revi. So one thing you see is that chulin shenasa taras hakodesh makes kachim into revi, which is explicitly not like Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak said in his halacha that it has to be kodesh mekudesh. So, but a kachim item that's orally kachim, and for sure a chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, she said cannot make revi. Here you see clearly it can make revi. So the Gemara says tanoi, he writes a machlekes tanoim. This price is not like him, but the tanoim, like the price that we find one of the tanoim is like a Yitzchak. The price says chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. This case that we're discussing, that's the halacha of Yitzchak, a chulin item that was made on the purity of level of kachim. So the Tanakh says straight out harin kachulin. He says. Totally, it doesn't become a shlish in the first place. It's like a regular chulin that ends at a sheni and nothing more. So he's totally not like what we've been discussing at Batel. It doesn't hold to this concept that you could treat it like kachim. It's chulin. You want to treat it like kachim, fine, but it doesn't become a shlishi. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadikayim, he says, Harei hen ketruma. We treat this chulin shanas ataras hakodesh like truma. What does that mean? Like he explains, letamishnayim velivsul echad. In other words, that there's a first degree level of tumah, and there's a second degree level of tumah, and the third degree level will become pasul, like truma. But it's not considered tameh, because when you call something tameh, it means it could even contaminate further to make into revi, even for kachim. But one thing we see that once we're explaining that it doesn't apply by this chulin shenasa taras hakodesh into revi, that's why we're saying that when it's a shlishi, we're not calling it tameh, only calling it pasul, and that it will not make a revi b'kodesh. So it's this Tana that holds like Rav Yitzchak. Now, but however, the Tana, the previous Braisa, disagrees and says that upasal eichle kodesh, that's obviously like those who dispute Rav Yitzchak and holds that even a chulin shenasa taras hakodesh could go ahead and make kachim into a revi. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav Shimon Oimer said, not like the Tanakama. Tanakama says if there's no blood, so it's not hokshel kabel tumah, and one could even touch it with regular hands, this piece of meat, even like we had different interpretations of the Gemara, let's say even if you was treating it like this chulin al taras hakodesh, but still you could touch it because it wasn't hokshel kabel tumah. Rav Shimon disagreed, he says, no hokshel b'shchita. It became susceptible to tumah due to the fact of the slaughtering, which we explained is because of that, through the fact that now it's permitted to eat, it's like considered a food item, and thus it's like a food item also in regards to the laws of being susceptible to tumah. Now, Amar Vasi explains, Rav Shimon was saying in the Mishnah, Ishchitase machsheres. Actually, only the slaughtering is what prepares the food item to become makabel tumah, because that's what made it into a food item. Veloy dam, and not the blood. And the relevancy of this teaching is that actually if the blood of the slaughtering would fall on food items, it would not make it susceptible to tumah because the blood of shechita is not considered one of the seven beverages. Although that we call dam, as yad shach dam, one of them is the dalet, is the blood. That, as we'll explain later, is a different type of a blood of an animal. But the blood of the shechita actually does not machshir. It's actually only the shechita according to Rav Shimon. Now, says the Gemara, let's say a precise reading of our Mishnah supports Rav Asi, because Rav Shimon, he said in the Mishnah, Huchshu b'shchita becomes prepared to tumah through the slaughtering. My love, isn't what he's saying? B'shchita, the fact that the animal is slaughtered, that's now it's a food item, that makes it huchshu l'kabel tumah. The loy b'dam, and not through its blood. Says the Gemara, no, you could say af b'shchita, also through slaughtering. Meaning, what he's saying is, when there's no blood, like the case of the Mishnah, it's still going to be susceptible. But the truth is, when there's blood, you could say that the blood would prepare it, and so the blood would prepare other food items to be makabel tumah. So the Mishnah says, Toshmat's being arrived from a different source. A Braisa says, Amalim Reb Shimon, Shimon said to the Chacham that disputed him, he said to them, what, v'chi adam machshir, you think the blood makes susceptible to tumah? V'lo shechita machshir, but it's the slaughtering. So you see, it's only slaughtering, not blood. And that says the Gemara, Hoch, Kamal, and this is what he was telling them. Chidam b'vad machsher. What he meant to say was, you think it's only blood that prepares? No, af shkita nami machsher. It's also the slaughtering, and there it's not a raya to Rav Asi. Someone says Tosha Matzvim Yiraya from Mishnah Masechtas Machshirin. Mishnah says Reb Shimon Oimer. He says dam hames, the blood of an animal that died by itself. Eina machsher. Its blood does not make the something susceptible to tumah. Says the Gemara, my love isn't what he's saying, but hadam shkita machsher. But the blood of the animal that was slaughtered, didn't just die, would be machshir, which is not like Rav Asi. So the Gemara, no. The inference is, hadam chalolim machshir. But the blood of an animal that was killed It didn't die by itself. Neither was it slaughtered. It was killed, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, why would that be the type of blood that's machshir? But that's what the Gemara is answering. No, it's not difficult on Ravasi. The dam shechita is not machshir. The inference is that the dam chalalim, the blood of a killed animal, would make susceptible to tumah. So on that is the Gemara, what? Avo dam shechita mai. But what do you want to say? The blood of of an animal that was slaughtered, then loy machshir. That would not make it susceptible to tumah. So then, says the Gemara, lishmeina dam shechita. So then we should have said a bigger chiddush. We should have said that even the blood of an animal that was slaughtered will not make it susceptible to tumah, where, as we'll explain later on, even though the blood of slaughtering is actually equated in the pasuk to water, like it says in the pasuk, al aretz tishpachen kamayim, which just like water makes something susceptible to tumah, so too you would think dam shechita. So say that case that it's not machshir, but koshkin dam emes, and of course the blood of an animal that just died. If you hold that dam shechita is not machshir, say that case not dam emes. Says Gemara, no, dam emes etzuchalei. No, to the contrary, we needed to say the blood of an animal that died by itself is not going to be machshir lekal b'tumah. Why? So get that. I mean, you would have thought to say that actually the blood of an animal that died by itself is actually more severe than the blood of an animal that was slaughtered. Why? Because you would say that it's similar to the blood of an animal that was killed. Because mali kotli ihu, what's the difference if he killed the animal? Mali kotli malachamavus, what's the difference if the angel of death killed the animal? And therefore, you would think it would be the same. In contrast, the blood of an animal that was slaughtered, that's not considered chalolim, an animal that was killed, again, whether by a person or by the angel of death. It's called zavuach, it's called slaughtered. But dam emes, you would think, would be the same as dam chalolim, which we'll shortly explain, that you see that that's considered a beverage to machshir lekal b'tumah. So therefore, you would have thought, kamash malim, that's what I have to tell you, that no, dam emes is also not machshir. But it's not a raya that dam shechita would be machshir. Moshe says, Tashma, let's bring a different raya. Bryce says, Reb Shimon Oimeh, he says, dam magafasai. The blood of a wound that comes out of a wound of an animal ain't a machshir. That's not considered dam to be machshir, an item to be mekabel tumah. Now says the Gemara, my lav, isn't that okay? Only the blood of a wound, hadam shechita machshir. But the blood of an animal that was killed through slaughtering, that would be considered a liquid to be mekabel tumah, not like ravasi. Says the Gemara, no, hadam chalala machshir. The inference is that the blood of an animal that was killed, as we're going to shortly explain, is only considered a mashka, a beverage. Only if it's an animal that was killed, as we're going to bring the pasuk dam chalalam yishta. So that is the Gemara al dam shechita mai. So what he's saying, but the blood of an animal that was slaughtered, what loy machshir, that would not make it hokshel lekal b'tumah. But then l'shmina dam shechita, let's say that even the blood of an animal that was slaughtered, that even that it's a dead animal, but it was through slaughtering, that even that it's not machshir. Because shkin dam agafasim, for sure, just the blood of a wound, that's not machshir. Why say that case? Says the Gemara, no, dam agafase etzuchalei. No, it was necessary to say that case that is not machshir. And even though we would know, let's say, the dam shechita is not machshir. Why? Because you would have thought to say, malikatli kula. What's the difference if I kill the whole animal? Malikatli palg. What's the difference if I kill half an animal? A wound of killing, it's still like a halfway killing. And just like when you kill a whole animal, it is machshir, so to halfway killing, you would think also, that's fair to say that no, dam agafase is not machshir lekal b'tumah. But nothing more clarifies this that we've been saying all along. So why is it that we're saying that the blood of an animal that was killed, that its blood is going to make something susceptible to tumah? The chesed, like the pasuk says about Midbar, where by the prophecy of Bilam regarding the Jewish people, says v'dam chalolim yishtan, the blood of the dead he will drink. So you see that the blood of something that was killed is considered yishta, like a beverage, which it has to be one of the seven liquids of a beverage that's machshir a food item to mekabel tumah. But if that's the case, dam shechita namiksev. The blood of slaughtering, it also says a pasuk in Devarim, ala aretz tishpachen kamayim, regarding an animal that was slaughtered, says, on the earth, its blood will spill like water. So we're saying we're considering the blood of an animal that was slaughtered like water, just like water is machshir lekal b'tumah, so too should be the blood of an animal that was slaughtered. Why is Rav Asi saying, as we've been explaining all along, that dam shechita, according to Rav Shimon, is not going to be machshir lekal b'tumah? Says the Gemara, no, hahu, that pasuk that's comparing blood to water is not to say that because the dam of shechita is like water to be machshir lekal b'tumah. That's teaching a different halacha. Lemishri dam and the b'suli hamakdashin is coming to permit the blood of karbanis that were invalidated from being a karban after they were redeemed. Bahana hu da'asa, it's coming to permit that blood of the deconsecrated, blemished animals that blood is permitted to have benefit from it. Meaning, just like water is something that's permitted to have benefit. So the pasuk is saying, also the blood of Psulim HaKdashin, its blood is permitted to have benefit from it, because actually this pasuk, as the Sefri explains, is talking about Psulim HaKdashin, those karbanas that were invalidated. Why do we need a pasuk to tell you that the blood of the psul mikdashin is permitted to have benefit from it? As the Gemara continues, tab alam and vamun al. So, you would have thought to say, since these karbanos, although they deconsecrated, you could go ahead and use the karbanos now, but they're still forbidden in certain elements. You're not allowed to shear the wool, you're not allowed to work that animal, because the pasuk says tizbach. You could slaughter it, but you can't shear the wool. You could slaughter the meat, but not the milk, as the Gemara says in the second parakim cheretav tesvav menalf. So you would think that so too daman lebaikvur, that its blood needs to be buried. Kamash malan, that's what the pasuk has to teach you, that the blood is going to be permitted, just like water is permitted to have benefit. But it's not coming to teach you to compare it to water that's hokshle kabotum, and there it's not difficult in Rav Asi, the way he qualifies Rav Shimon, that actually only the shechita is going to be machshle kabotum, but the dam of the shechita is actually not considered dam, that type of blood that's machshir lekabotum, not like the Tanakama who holds that it's the blood itself that's machshir lekabotum.